to a Savoury Kilkenny podcast recorded at Food Camp in the Kilkenny Ormond Hotel as part of the 2010 Savoury Kilkenny Food Festival. In this podcast, we hear from Barry Nash and his talk, Enhancing the Visibility of Local Seafood Through Partnerships.
I am with the North Carolina State University Seafood Laboratory, and it has a joint program with North Carolina Sea Grant, which is the university extension arm that deals with seafood issues and coastal issues along our coast, as opposed to the Agricultural Extension Service, which deals with inland issues. And what I want to talk to you, I'll give you my background. I have a bachelor's and master's in food chemistry and microbiology from North Carolina State. I've worked in research and development at three different companies over 12 years, and then had an opportunity to come to the university to work with small processors and develop a business development program specific to them. So one of the things that I do is help the industry with marketing, but I also deal with food safety issues as well as product development. And what I want to talk to you about today is commercially branding local seafood along the coast to give it more visibility and a distinction from imports. And for those of you that do not know where North Carolina is, and I don't think you have anybody that doesn't realize that, but we are in the Mid-Atlantic region on the East Coast. And where you see that star is where Morehead City is, and it is a very small community that has a long and rich heritage for fishermen in that area. And back in 1995, we had a very vibrant seafood industry, but then imports started coming into the picture. And at that time, imports were cheaper than local seafood, and people were buying on price. So fishermen who were very production-oriented, they just basically harvested their fish, they took it to a fish house. The fish house might fillet the product, but more often than not, they would just box that product up, ice it down, and they would ship it up to big wholesale markets in Washington, D.C., in Baltimore, up in New York, like Fulton Market, and sometimes up to Canada. When the imports came in, they started losing market share to the imports, and their whole business model, which needs to change, has not. And as a result, we've lost a lot of fishermen in our industry. The average age of a fisherman now is about 56 years old, and we don't have many young people coming into the industry. And yet, the paradox is the demand for local seafood is increasing. So on the national side, when we did a review of the consumer literature from California to the East Coast, we found that local in the United States right now means grown or harvested in my state, and that consumers have a perception that seafood, or just food in general, that's locally harvested, locally produced, is fresher and of higher quality, less chemical contamination than imports, which is a perception. That's not always the case, but that's the perception and one to build on. And people are buying local food because the majority of them, a little over, think that the quality is higher, so they want to buy local whenever possible, and people are looking for an authentic place. We have brands in the United States like Copper River Salmon that are great. It tells people that this is a very pristine geographical area. And again, the food coming out of this area is of the highest quality and low chemical contamination. Again, consumers are saying, based on the national statistics, that they are willing to pay a premium of up to 30% more than the current market price to know that they're getting seafood from local sources. Seafood is increasing in popularity across all categories. This year, the National Restaurant Association of the United States said that seafood is one of its top culinary trends, and that our United States Department of Agriculture is predicting that seafood will have the largest per capita gains through 2020. And what's driving this, basically, is the demographic, what we call the baby boomers, people born between 1946 and 1964, who are in middle age, and what they're looking to do is to eat healthier, seafood being high in protein, low in fat, and the fat content in general is high in omega-3 fatty acids, which have proven cardiovascular benefits and benefits to the memory. People are trying to eat more seafood because they want to eat healthier and stave off chronic diseases. At the local level, my group did some consumer research, going out into the community and asking people, you know, what they thought about local seafood, how they wanted to purchase it, what their interests were. Back in 2005, we have a festival in Carter County called North Carolina Seafood Festival, where practically no one is serving local seafood. Okay. They are buying imports because they can make a lot of money in the 3 days that this festival occurs, and so local guys are not getting any market share here at all. And so we went over to that festival and said, okay, you know, what are your feelings about local seafood? And we're finding that, of course, people want to know that when they come to the coast that they are getting local seafood direct from fishermen, to the point that 92% said that they are more inclined to purchase local seafood over imports if they were given a choice to do so. And along our coast, the favorite commodities are wild-caught shrimp and flounder scallops and oysters and blue crabs. And then in 2006, we had an academic researcher from a university in the central part of the state that came down, and she interviewed nearly 300 people and found that, once again, the demand for local products was extremely high, to the point that people, again, were willing to pay a premium price to know that they were getting the seafood they were buying, at least at restaurants, had been locally harvested. And again, shrimp comes up as one of the number one commodities, which matches the data that we're seeing from the National Fisheries Institute in McLean, Virginia, who says that shrimp is America's number one most popular seafood, followed again by flounder, scallops, and assorted shellfish. And then in 2007, a researcher from UNC Chapel Hill came into the community. She didn't get a large response from people from some of the work that she did, but what we did find interesting is that at the time this research was conducted, that they would buy a locally branded seafood elsewhere in North Carolina because that brand would tell them that this product came from a local fisherman. And that, again, was feeding into our ideas about how we could create a market distinction for local seafood versus imports. And following up on that survey again, we find that, again, people are going to restaurants, retail outlets, supermarkets, and they are patronizing those businesses that are selling local products, not just seafood, but vegetables and beef and pork. And again, 90% of the people who responded to the survey said that they were willing to pay a premium price to know that the seafood that they were getting was local. And this was interesting data because this is when in the United States that the economic tsunami came in and people were losing their jobs, money was getting tight, and yet it kind of mirrors what John McKenna said today. You know, they were willing to support local artisans for food. They were willing to pay a higher premium to know that they were supporting local communities. So we had an opportunity, we had a challenge. We know from the market research, both at the national level and the regional level, people were eating more seafood. They wanted to eat more local products. We did see in Carter County, North Carolina, which is where Morehead City is based, that restaurants that were serving local seafood were not always getting an incentive to do that, and our local seafood industry isn't, John, as you have mentioned, as sophisticated as the beef and pork producers. So there is some preparation that restaurants have to do in order to get the product in the market form that they need before they prepare it, and it is laborious. It would be easier for them to go to a major food distributor to get shrimp already peeled, deveined, uniformly sized, ready to cook. But they want to support the local industries by buying local product, and they're willing to peel and devein on their own, but it is tedious. The problem here is besides the market form, is that at this time, local seafood was indistinguishable from imports. Nobody could tell if shrimp was coming from off the waters of North Carolina or if it was coming from overseas in a foreign pond. What were we going to do about that? We have a college system, a university system, and then we have community colleges throughout the state. Our two-year colleges that give people associate's degrees or they can go on to the major universities. We have one of these community colleges in Morehead City called Carteret Community College, Carteret being the name of the county where this is based. And they applied for a rural community college initiative from the Ford Foundation. And this particular program at the time was funding a number of different economic initiatives. And they took about 8 months to review what can we do to help our community. And it seemed that looking at the heritage of the fishing industry, that really has puts Carter County on the map in terms of, you know, what do we offer communities in terms of local foods. We felt like, you know, the thing that we could do best was to help these fishermen adopt simple marketing principles and help them begin to change their business models so that they can have a sustainable industry for the long term. So we had two objectives. Obviously, we had a commercial objective where we wanted to create a stronger awareness and, of course, a demand for local food so that people all through the distribution chain from fishermen, or from restaurants down to fishermen, would see an increase in the revenues. But we also had an educational component because people really do not know anything about local products caught off the North Carolina coast. They don't know what species are seasonally available. They don't know that seafood is inspected by state and federal authorities to make sure that it's safe and it's high in quality, that the marine resources are regulated by state and federal authorities to make sure we don't overfish them. And also, we wanted to highlight the lifestyle and the heritage of Carteret County fishermen because we know what people are looking for. It's already been stated with local seafood is they want to connect with the fishermen. They value their lifestyle and their heritage. Seafood is the connecting point. And so we wanted in our educational message to encompass all four of these value points. And it turned out that in a survey done by Amy Anderson of the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill, that those value points are important because a majority of people said that they're buying local foods because marine stocks would be managed for, I call it continuity. I hate the word sustainable because that brings out the environmental crazies and I can't get any more arguments with them. For state and federal regulators, a majority says that purchasing local seafood because it is inspected or they now know that it's being inspected, and a majority say they are buying local seafood because they want to support local fishing communities. And so our community partners here, we had chefs, we had educators, we had people from the Chamber of Commerce, from other business associations like our Economic Development Council, we had the Fishermen's Association and various outreach organizations associated with North Carolina State University that came together over a two-year period to begin working on brand development for local seafood. Our funding agencies came from outside the state as well as within the state and also from within our community. And close to $35,000, $40,000 over a five-year period has been provided to help us develop the brand and get the organization set up and develop a number of premium educational materials to get the brand out there and to educate people about local seafood. And this is what we came up with. We hired a business specialist to lead us through a branding exercise. And I've got handouts I can give you to talk more about that. And we hired a graphic artist to come in. And the way we created this is we had a number of different ideas about what the brand should be, the tagline should be. And what we came up with after 2.5 hours of very spirited debate was we were going to call this Carteret Catch. Carteret being the name of the county from which we were working in. Catch refers to seafood. And then our tagline, Select North Carolina Seafood from the Fishermen of Carteret County, says that select means the fishermen here believe that they're dealing with the freshest, best product anywhere along the coast. We wanted to highlight the fact this was North Carolina seafood. We wanted to highlight the fact that we are dealing with seafood that has been landed by Carteret County fishermen because they'll fish anywhere up and down the coast. And we're not saying that it has to come from the waters of Carteret County, just landed by somebody that lives in the county. And that boat is a silhouette of an actual fishing vessel belonging to one of the board members who was involved in this branding process. So we have membership categories to support the educational and promotional initiatives of the organization, commercial fishermen. Of course, our first on our list. They must be a Carteret County resident, and they must have a standard commercial fishing license, so that we know that they are approved to go out and harvest seafood. Our seafood dealers would be called our processors. And so we want to make sure that they have a valid business address within the county, that they have a license to process and sell seafood. And since we are promoting government inspection, we want to know that they fall under state and federal inspection rules because we have roadside vendors that are selling foreign product as if it were caught locally. And we did not want them to be a part of this program. Again, seafood retailers must have be subject to government inspection. They must have a valid North Carolina dealer's license. Our restaurants, at the time, we asked them only to be selling one local commodity the year round, but we're now getting ready to increase that to 3 or 4 because we know the restaurants are doing that now anyway. But it was a way to bring people on board. We have associate memberships, which is for people in the community that are not associated with the seafood industry, but want to support this community effort, and we also have corporate sponsorships. This organization, I thought, was something that had been duplicated elsewhere in the world. And I will explain to you a little shortly that it probably was more novel than we thought. But it got the attention of our local government leaders. And they don't have, the fishermen don't have a lot of support from our local government leaders, but they endorsed this. The Carter County Board of Commissioners and the Tourist Development Authority and the Fisheries Advisory Board said this is an excellent program to help our fishing industry continue to do business in the county and improve the way they do business over time. So what these endorsements allowed us to do was to use these as a means to get more grant money to continue to develop the educational effort to the point that we've got now a self-sustaining organization just on the basis of the revenue that comes in from our memberships and our fundraising activities alone. This organization also got a lot of publicity and press in both at the state level and the national level. When this program was debuted in 2005, it was profiled by the Raleigh News and Observer and some local papers on the coast, and that took off across the country and across the world. And it allowed us to work with other organizations that said, you know, we like what you did. We like the fact that you're branding product and educating people about local seafood. And we have the North Carolina Aquarium Society in North Carolina, and they came to us and they said, would you help us develop a seasonality chart, which I'll pass around based on this one, which gives all the commercial commodities that are caught off our coast. It tells the consumer, basically, when these commodities are seasonally available so that they know what to look for and when to look for, and tells them, hey, you know, when you're going to a restaurant, ask if this product is local. And I'll just pass these out because that's an autumn card. And this branding initiative got noticed by fishermen in Queensland, Australia. The Queensland fishermen came to us and said, we're interested in knowing how you develop this program because we want to do something similar. So Queensland Catch launched in the summer of 2008. That was followed by Port Clyde Fresh Catch up in Maine in the fall of 2008. And then within North Carolina, we had Brunswick Catch that launched last year, Ocracoke Fresh, and Outer Banks Catch. And there are more branding organizations that are developing in the southeast and up in Alaska and on the west coast of the United States. And we've also come up with a new way of helping our fishermen connect directly with their consumers called community-supported fisheries, which is modeled on community-supported agriculture, where farmers and fishermen, at the beginning of every season, sell shares to their consumers for a certain amount of seafood, a certain quantity of seafood, and the consumers are taking the risk with the fishermen and the farmers. They may not get everything that they want that year, or they may get more. But what they understand is that food is seasonal, and there are a lot of elements that go into producing food, and they take the risk along with the fishermen and the farmer. If they have a great year, the shareholders do, and if the farmers don't have a great year, the shareholders will experience that too. But it is another way for fishermen to cut out the middleman, to get direct income from their consumers, and they can connect directly with their customers and learn more about what they like and don't like about local seafood and what kind of value-added products they would like to have. This concept was pioneered in Carter County with Carter Catch back in 2007-2008, and now we have these kinds of community-supported fisheries programs developing all across the United States, where local seafood is being sold either locally or it's being moved inland within a given geographical region. And again, we have the North Carolina Seafood Festival that rarely sells North Carolina seafood, and we didn't like that. And we figured, you know, there's got to be some way we can get people's attention and get them starting to ask questions about local products, knowing when it's seasonally available and who's selling it. And so we went to the festival and we said, you know, we have this idea for creating a chef's program. I don't know if you all get the Food Channel over here. That's a popular program in the United States where we have chefs that actually demonstrate different kinds of food products and preparations. So what we did is we went and we asked our Carter Catch chefs. We said, would you come into this festival and do a cooking demonstration every hour on the hour? And they did. And so what we had here is a tented area. We had two stages where we had countertop space and a range. refrigerator space, and we had overhead flat screens. And we were bringing in up to 300, 400 people in this area here to watch each of these chefs do a demonstration with the local seafood. And these preparations, of course, we give out to the members of the audience because they too want to know how to prepare this product at home. And it gives these individuals business too, because many of these businesses that have done these demonstrations on the first weekend of October is when we hold the Seafood Festival. People are coming to the restaurants and saying, I saw you earlier today at the Seafood Festival and I wanted to come to your restaurant. And that's exactly the kind of attention we want to give to our membership. And we bring the fishermen on board too, and we ask them to get up there and talk to the audience about what the industry means to them, and how their families adopted to harsh seasons and good seasons in the fishing industry. And again, people are hearing directly from the fishermen, you know, what it means to make your living off the water. And that resonates well with the audience. And so this event has become so popular. In the last 3 years, this event got an international award just because of the outreach efforts that we're doing with the community on behalf of the fishermen. One that other communities are beginning to, in North Carolina, are beginning to emulate. But with the local food system, what I see in the United States is that it's great to have these little processors, but we need a supply chain, and we don't have one. Right now, the processing infrastructure in the seafood industry, it needs work, it needs help. We need a distribution system to move product from wherever our processes are to key accounts across the state. We need retail infrastructure that can incorporate local foods and make it more available to consumers. And once the commodity structure for ag products and seafood products is established, then we have to get into convenience foods, value-added seafoods that you just described, John. And our industry is not where it needs to be in terms of doing that. We've got to stabilize the commodity structure before we can even start talking to them about developing value-added foods, because that's a whole separate business in and of itself and requires a lot of advertising dollars to get a product out there and educate the consumer about why these value-added items are better than the competition. And of course, underlying all of this is that you must have strong safety and sanitation programs in place in order to develop a quality product, a wholesome product, because that is so key in this local foods movement, is that people believe that local foods are safer than imports, and you know, we got to deliver. It's that, just that important. And luckily, we're working with an industry that believes that their products are special and important, and they don't want to put out a bad product. They really don't. So that's a good thing. So overall, what we have done for our industry is we've taught them how to use branding to give them commercial recognition, to give them a point of distinction from imports. We do not, as we say in the United States, we don't slam imports. We don't say imports are bad, local is good, because we know that local can't fill the total demand for seafood. And so some places are going to have to buy imports because people are going to want shrimp the year round. People are going to want tuna the year round. But for those people that want the local option, this branding opportunity gives them a point of distinction from imports. And the other thing that we're trying to do now is after we branded the product, we want to build infrastructure. We want to create products that meet a market form that the retailers and wholesalers want. We want to go up to value-added products, and we want to build a vibrant food economy by creating a new distribution chain just for those products. So this is where we are in North Carolina. You and the mountains are a little farther ahead of us than that, because you've got the incubators up there that are creating new businesses. We are trying to bring an incubator to the eastern part of North Carolina, where chefs and processors can come together and create new products. The chefs are the creative end. The processors would be doing the production, and the two of them would be doing the co-marketing. So we're trying to get them interested in co-branding too. So again, this is a new, we're in the process of creating a new business model and helping our industry move from just being production-oriented to more consumer-oriented in the way they produce and sell foods.
Have you met with Mark Plasby yet?
I'm sorry, what?
Director of the incubator down there in Winesville. Have you met him yet?
No, I just met Susan. Okay. So, anyway, that concludes my presentation. I don't know if you have any questions, but again, I just wanted to demonstrate what we are trying to do in North Carolina to help our local food producers get more visibility with consumers. I'm very glad to be at this particular symposium because I've learned a lot from all of you, especially you, John, about what you're doing with your industry, and learning that, you know, as people have said all day long, it's going to take collaboration. I work with an industry that is very independent. They don't like to be told what to do. They don't they don't like to take direction, but desperation is a great motivator, and they're hurting economically, and now they're learning to do things differently than they used to. And we just set up demonstration projects and hope they're successful. And when other people see that these are successful, then the people that were involved on the ground floor can go out and be ambassadors to the community and say, you need to get involved, and these are the reasons why.
So. Do you think, are these brands transferable? Would, if, say, Brunswick Catch there, would that sell over the other side in a different state? Would it be recognized?
If they promote it over there. Right now, this is just a regional brand.
Right.
But what we are working with them on is that a lot of our shrimp production occurs in Brunswick County. But we got to get that shrimp in a market form people want. So this could be like a brand that would go on a package from one of our local processors, and they could say, yeah, it was caught in Brunswick County by a North Carolina fisherman. And that's the direction I want to see them go. I want to see them moving their product out of state, but recognizing the regional location here. We're not there yet.
Okay. You can see one of the brands on the presentation that I gave you there, the Fuchsia brand. It's West Cork. And it tends to be a very strong marketing tool for all types of produce produced in the southwest of the country.
Yeah.
So you should have a look at the Fuchsia brand.
Okay.
Google it, have a look at the philosophy behind it. Very interesting concept. So your guys don't really add much value at this stage. It's really just fish, maybe deveined, peeled prawns.
Right.
You're not doing ready meals? Or?
We have probably two processors in the state right now that have the capitalization to do that. We need to see more of that. But as I said before, if I can just get these guys to take the seafood they've got now, when you were saying that a lot of the seafood in this country is just packed up and sent over to continental Europe, well, a lot of our seafood is packed up and it goes to the northeastern United States. A lot of it does not stay in this in the North Carolina area. And I think that's a shame. You know, some of it will go up there, we'll get a process, it comes back to us, or it's going to get sold up there and we're going to have imports to make up the difference. I would rather see that product sold within North Carolina where people understand where Carter County is, they understand the heritage of the fishermen, and they want to buy local products. And I feel like there's a large untapped market within the state for local seafood. We have the Outer Banks of North Carolina, which are recognized as, around the world, as a great area to do recreational fishing. And so these fishermen are coming into the restaurants and they're saying, I want to get good local product, and some of them have it and some of them don't. I'd like to see a point where we're selling a lot of our seasonal seafood within the state, preferably on the coast.
How did you engage with fishermen as a group?
Well, the first thing we had to do when we started talking about this initiative is we had to take them on a field trip up to the Northeast where there were people that were successfully selling local products because they thought we were nuts. As I said, they're very independent people and they have their own mind about things. But we said, just give us a chance to convince you that this is something that could work. And so one of my associates up on the Raleigh campus, inland, said, I will arrange a trip. Just give me fishermen, give me restauranters, give me seafood dealers and retailers that I can take up there. And we did that. We went up to Washington, D.C., and we went on the barge market, and I couldn't believe it, but there were people on that barge that knew where Carter County was. There are people in North Carolina that don't know where Carter County is. But these guys on the barge says, I want to buy your product. And there was an exchange of business cards between the two. And then as they went up to Stonington, Connecticut, and up to Gloucester, Massachusetts, where they saw processing facilities that were producing, marketing local seafood, they said, well, if these guys are doing it, maybe we can too. When we got them back down to North Carolina, you know, is when we started setting up meetings to start talking about branding. They showed up. They showed up because they wanted to see where this was going to go. And I had a core group of people that I knew were open-minded enough to want to take a risk, because in our fishing communities, there is a mindset that you don't want to step out beyond acceptable boundaries of behavior, because if you do and you're successful, people will hate you, and if you fail, people will hate you. So it really does, you have to look for people that are open-minded enough to say, I'm willing to take that risk. And with Carter Catch, it was so successful that these other fishermen in other regions said, you know, we're going to try too. And now what we're trying to do with these different brands is, instead of having them just compete on the basis of region alone, is bringing together an umbrella organization where they can do their education and promotion across the state. They can combine forces. Because again, with the seafood industry being a global enterprise, it is entirely too intensive for one or two or three businesses to go along. They have to come together and collaborate in order to survive as a group.
And then, so the key product here is shrimp. Am I right in thinking that? That's the key product from Carteret County?
In the summer. In the summertime, between June and the end of October, shrimp is a big, we'll call it a bread and butter item.
40% of the turnover. And what gives shrimp from this neighborhood its unique selling point? Is it something in the sea? Is it the way it's produced?
Well, wild-caught shrimp, we know. We've done studies on it. Wild-caught shrimp has a much more savory, meatier flavor than the farm-raised. That and the fact that it is harvested off local waters by local fishermen, that's the value right now. Where we want to take that value to the retailer and to the restaurants is, I want the fishermen to take their shrimp. Well, right now, when they bring it to the dock, they'll just pop the head off, but the body still has the shell on. I want them to get equipment that will uniformly size the product, peel and devein, so that the restaurants have what they call ready-to-cook out bag.
And then is Carolina the only place in the United States that you can get shrimp of this quality?
No. The entire southeastern and the Gulf region is all the Gulf oil spill.
It's all going to be the same.
Yeah.
But are you the only guys who have started to market it like this?
Yes, in terms of and taking a brand and bringing a large group of fishermen under one brand, yes. That's what's been unique about this. For us, and we didn't start out that way, because again, we thought somebody else would have already done this first. But in the Gulf, it's usually individual companies that have a brand. But they commingle their local product with imports. Okay, so they don't have that brand value. Mm-hmm. And another thing that we're trying to do with these brands too is we're trying to use traceability programs where we can actually, using a cell phone, we can have our consumers actually punch in a code, give it to them by the restaurant owner, and up will pop the face of the fisherman, a little bio on him, and also a little bit of history of the product that they're eating that day. And that gives our independent restaurants a market distinction from the chains that do buy a lot of imported products for their restaurants across the United States.
Can I ask, how did restaurants respond to this?
They love it. Consumers love it.
Yeah.
And another thing that they love too is this. We went around and we asked restaurants when we were first doing this product, tell us what you like and don't like about buying local seafood or just seafood in general. And we categorized all of their responses and created this chart, which is also in the business plan. And we found that consumers and retailers want it also. It gives them visual markers to use in distinguishing good quality seafood from poor quality seafood. And so at these education events with the North Carolina Seafood Festival, for instance, we give these out. We give those seafood availability charts out. We give out these local catch cards, because these are our, not just promotional premiums, but they are educational tools. And this is how the fishermen are communicating with their customers.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I deal with fishermen. I mean, in our office, you have fishermen coming in every day. And fishermen love to gripe.
Yes, they do.
They want every fish in the sea. The sea is just kind of keeping it firm. They love to gripe. And it's the same old story. The fisherman says, the processor's cutting my throat on price.
Yes.
And the processor's going, well, you know, I'm only getting 45-50% yield. The rest of the fish I have to pay to dispose of. And then I'm losing so much with shelf life. And then the customer's griping over price. And then there's also the gripe that, you know, fish processors and wholesalers are importing fish.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this big cycle of gripes
that, and I'm in the middle, and I'm getting it in the ear hole every day from somebody. I'd be very interested to talk about how you could take, how we could maybe look at doing maybe a pilot project, like a regional pilot project or something like this, because fishermen, you start talking to a fisherman about this, and the first thing he's going to say is, I'm a fisherman, I know how to catch fish, I left school when I was 15. And that's what you constantly hear. You know, you give a fisherman an application form for a project or something like that, or for some funding, he goes, yeah, I'll get the wife to fill it when I go home. And it's always the same thing, that they see themselves, pure and simple, they're producers. They go, they catch the fish, they land the fish, and then they somehow expect someone else to come along and help them make a go of it from there. Now, we've done work with them on icing and how to bleed,
mm-hmm.
how to ice, how to store, how to pack. But something like this would be very interesting, where you would have a provenance or an origin scheme, which isn't overly onerous, coupled with, you know, a strong seasonality focus, so that the message goes from the fisherman to the restaurateur to the consumer that the fish is local, and if you want to eat local fish, you're going to have to cut your cloth to suit according to season. I think it's very interesting what you've done.
Thank you. One thing we are trying to do right now with the industry is recognizing that adding value right now for my fishermen.
It's out of their reach.
Not necessarily.
On a big scale.
I want them, I'll take shrimp. I'll take that as an example. Shrimp, number one most popular seafood in America.
Absolutely.
Okay. Wild caught has a better flavor than farm raised.
Sure.
A lot of people don't know that. Well, people are telling me, or telling my researchers that I work with, I want to buy local products. I will pay a premium to buy local products, but it's not in the distribution system.
Yeah.
Now imports are commanding a higher price than local seafood, and the fishermen can't figure that one out, because when they first came into the country 15 years ago, imports were cheaper. So what is happening here? What's going on? Well, I know what's going on, and what's going on is the imports are setting the standard for quality, and they're providing a packaged product, a ready-to-cook product that retailers and restaurateurs want. I'm bringing the fishermen together here in the next couple of weeks, and I'm having a discussion. I'm having a mediator come in and mediate the discussion. I've already gone out and done interviews. I've already heard the side stories about, oh my God, oh woe is me, you know, the industry's going to hell, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
And I'm taking this information, I'm saying, no, they don't. People want your local seafood, but you have to change the way you do business. And then I'm hearing all kinds of stories about why I can't do that. Well, if I bring together the fishermen with people who have what I'm seeing here at this festival, with people who have business experience, legal experience, education experience, entrepreneurial experience, investor experience, we can have a conversation now among people that these fishermen respect and say, okay, let's answer the question. Why is it that imports are commanding a higher price now? Why are there more imports in the distribution chain at a time when people want to buy your local products? And what I'm hoping is that they will finally come to the realization that, okay, all I have to do is, you know, peel, devein, and uniformly size at least shrimp. And if they're willing to go in that direction, okay, what are we going to do about that? Well, one of the things they got to do about it is they've got to invest in the equipment and the infrastructure to do that. But then we have to figure out, how are we going to share those profits? Who will manage a facility like that? And these are all kinds of questions that people have been bantering around about throughout up and down our coast, but nobody has brought folks together to say, let's create a vision. And that's what I'm trying to do with this, because this demonstrated to people that this is something a lot of fishermen thought would never work, and it has. And now what I want them to understand is now we've got to process our product in the way the market wants. And then I want to take them to the next level. I want to get back to doing what you're doing, because I ain't the marketer. But I know people who can, and I want to start talking about value-added products that meet the convenience needs of consumers, because that is another revenue source for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a strong commodities business and a strong value-added business.
So this logo, this brand you have, this is displayed by restaurants,
It is.
It's displayed on pre-packed product.
Yep.
Stores.
Yep. We give fishermen and restaurants this flag so people can easily identify them from the road. We also have this is a bumper sticker as opposed to a static decal that's placed in the windows of retailers and restaurants that are members of the program. And we also have the restaurants indicate on their menus with the logo here what product has been locally sourced from a Carter County fisherman.
Do you have a cooperative for people that belong to this?
Cooperative is a dirty word.
Oh, sorry.
Well, we're trying to call it partnership because the C word, there had been...
Sorry.
Is
the concept.
Trying to get them to the point where they will collaborate.
Okay.
You know, not use the word cooperative because in the past, fishermen have gotten together and said, I'm going to sell to this processor for a certain price. And the processor will say, okay, I'll go to one of the fishermen and I'm going to pay him 5 to 10 cents more a pound for his fish. So he leaves the cooperative and another one sees that and he leaves and it breaks down.
Yeah, agents will undermine the cooperative.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
So what we are trying to do is get fishermen and processors to realize that you're in this together and that without the fishermen, the processors don't necessarily have a market, but without the processors, the fishermen don't have any place to take their seafood. We've got to come up with a business model where there's more of a collaborative nature to it.
Is there like a board that drives
this?
Yes,
there is.
Does it have fishermen on it?
It has fishermen on it. It has fisher. We have processors on it. We have the local Economic Development Council director on it. We have a bank manager on it. We have the editor of the local paper because he knows about advertising and promotion. And we're bringing people in with expertise in the areas the fishermen don't have so that we can have cross-pollination and get these guys an education that they wouldn't get any other way.
And can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. Are you doing, a public awareness service?
Yes.
Just talking to Joe Public walking down the street, going to the bank or going home or going for coffee or whatever. And what's the feedback you're getting from the public on this initiative?
The feedback that they see is, gosh, it's great that what you're doing for the fishermen, and B, I'm very glad to know that when I go to a business that sports that logo, that I'm supporting the local fishermen. Those are the two things that are important to them right now, is knowing that we're doing something to help the community, and we're doing something that gives the fishermen a means of being able to sell their product and distinguish it from an imported product. They are they're very supportive of it, and it was because of that public support from all of that publicity that we got around the state and the nation that got other fishermen interested in developing their own brands too. And this company in particular, Ocracoke Fresh, I don't know how much you know about the Outer Banks, but Ocracoke is a small island along the Outer Banks, made famous by Blackbeard the Pirate because that's where he used to do his raids from. They used to have about 12 fish houses on the island. They're now down to one. But that's great because now this group has formed a collaborative, not cooperative, a collaborative, where they have people who have defined roles in managing that fish house. Somebody goes out and harvests. Somebody will pack the product when it gets to the fish house. Then they have a retail outlet. And then they also work with their restaurants to have this logo in the window. And they actually use these educational materials that I just gave you that Carter Catch started to let people visiting that island know when their favorite commodity is available. They use this logo on their retail products. They use this logo on menus at restaurants. And again, what makes it work so well is that you've got that one fish house where all the fishermen had to work together in order to survive. We're in Carter County. We have, we're down to really four processors in the area, two of which, once one of their partners dies here in the next couple of months, they're going to close their doors. They've made their money. That will reduce our seafood packing capacity in the county by 50%. We need some way of being able to sustain our fishermen when those two go away. We have to come up with a new business model, a new infrastructure that keeps these guys going, and that was the purpose of bringing in a mediator with people from the community in to have these discussions. They've got to start having them. But they're willing to do it because what these brands have demonstrated is that people really want to buy local products. Fishermen thought, nobody wants my product, nobody cares about me, I'm hurting financially, I must be, you know, washed up. Mm-hmm. But now what they're seeing with our market research and the publicity that these brands are getting across the state is that, hey, okay, I guess I am important, and I have something people want, and it's just not my seafood, it's my lifestyle and my heritage. But they have other things they've got to work on in order to be able to have a sustainable business model over time.
There is an initiative called Cashelmara.ie, I think it is. If you Google Cashelmara,
you can spell that one for me.
C-A-S-H-E-L-M-A-R-A, Cashelmara. And basically what it is it's a brand first and foremost. There's four cooperatives spread north, south, east, and west in Ireland who sell product under this brand. The profit made from selling the seafood goes to sustain the brand. Okay, mm-hmm. It's purely voluntary if you want to sell in to this particular brand, you want to sell under it. Mm-hmm. The guy in charge of the brand goes out and tries to generate business. If a big supermarket in France says, I want to buy prawn, I want to buy whitefish, he then goes back to the four cooperatives and offers them all the opportunity to sell under this brand. But a question I have for you is, in the States, what kind of funding is available for, say, seafood processors for adding value? Or for buying equipment, would you have funding?
Well, not for necessarily buying equipment, but we do have one program that's operated by North Carolina Sea Grant. It's called the Fishery Resource Grant Program. It has four component areas. One of them is seafood technology. And it is a grant program whereby if you have ideas for producing value-added products, for instance, the grant will fund your idea, but any equipment you use to do the demonstration project has to revert back to the state. They will not fund that kind of private equipment. However, we have another organization called the North Carolina Rural Center that gets money from the state, and they will pay for infrastructure and they will pay for equipment, but you've got to have a business model laid out. And you have to demonstrate to them that business model is going to work. And it just so happens that the Rural Center really wants to do something to help our fishermen sustain their business. They're waiting to see what kind of business model any of these groups is going to come up with to produce a product that the consumers really want. And so that's the purpose, again, of this mediation exercise, because the money's there. We have it. We have the Ford Foundation up in Michigan that will fund these kinds of initiatives, but we need a business model. We need a business plan, and we don't have one, and we've got to get them there.
Well, the Irish government funds companies probably a little bit too much. BIM, the organization we work for, will fund to the tune of, what's the maximum percentage, Margie?
It's 25 or 40, depending on what you're doing.
You can get up to 40% funding towards buying a new piece of equipment. There's another agency called Enterprise Ireland, and you can get 40% funding towards buying new equipment or extending your factory. And if you collaborate with another guy, you can get up to 60% funding to buy equipment. So it's money for nothing. And that in itself inspires collaboration and companies getting together.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer in that incentives, you get rewarded for what you do, and you have to really structure your incentives appropriately to foster that.
Can I ask one more question? Thinking as a man who deals with fishermen quite regularly, when you pitch this to a fisherman, the first thing he's going to say is, what's in it for me? Am I going to get more money? How did you answer that question? What was the logical basis? How did you can't say to him, right, you're going to get a 10% premium because your processor is going to go, oh, you're not.
Right. What I did is along with some other people's, we first decided to take the national consumer research and say, does this apply to North Carolina? And I went over that with you. And I showed consistently people want local seafood.
Yeah, up at 80% people want it.
They want
local, always.
And they want a product, but they need a way to distinguish that product from imports. So what I sold them on is this. I said, and we gave them the rock bottom rate of $25, which even a fisherman can afford. And we said, take a chance. I can show you, based on this market research, that you have a product people want, you have a heritage and a lifestyle people value. If we can get this brand out there in restaurants and retail outlets, we could drive more demand for local seafood, and that has started happening. But to your point, when you, there's a big gap between what fishermen get from a retailer and what that retailer is going to sell it to the consumer for.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's absolutely huge. And that's an area that is difficult for us to deal with. Again, the mediation exercise, we've got to work on that. The fishermen have bought into the idea that, yes, Carter Catch is putting me on the map in my business, but I need more money than I'm currently getting. And I'm saying, okay, collaboration. We need to have a discussion about what are we going to do as an industry to better share those profits with one another. And I can't answer that question for you now. But what I did tell them was, is I said, this is what Carter Catch is doing for you. We're going out there and we're asking consumers, do you want local seafood? Do you know where to buy it? And what kind of premium are you willing to pay for it? And the, what was in it for them was is that they saw hope. And they said, good God, you know, I had no idea that people valued local seafood, and I had no idea that they valued me. And if they're looking for that logo when they're going to restaurants and retail outlets, maybe that will help me down the road when these restaurants start buying my seafood. And they have started buying the seafood, but we're not buying locally as much of the seafood as we can, as we need to. It's not in the market form right now that those restaurants and retailers want. But the retailers and restaurants are saying, look, if you'll just do simple processing techniques on your finfish and your shrimp and your shellfish, I will buy locally. But there's still a lot of debate about, well, how's that going to be done? Who's going to manage the facility?
You've been listening to Barry Nash and his talk, Enhancing the Visibility of Local Seafood Through Partnerships. This podcast was produced by eventmedia.ie for the Savour Kilkenny Food Festival. For more on Barry and his work at the Centre for Marine Sciences and Technology, you can visit cmast.ncsu.edu. And for more podcasts and information about the festival, visit www.savourkilkenny.com.